Zender here. This is the Revelation series. Thank you for writing me to tell me that you enjoy these shows from the laundry room. I appreciate that. I guess you like the freelanceness of it. I guess you like that I'm just here talking to you and with you about consequential truths from the scripture that you're not getting anywhere else. I appreciate that. I think about these things, and they affect me. They're part of me. And so we have a common bond. We're members of the body of Christ. So if something is affecting me, I have a feeling it's affecting you. If I need to hear that I'm located in the right place, then I think you need to hear it. If I need to hear that the sorest trials of my life are going to be transmuted, translated into glory someday, then I think you need to hear it too. You won't believe my setup here today. I have, there's a stool sitting on my sofa, and it's very wobbly here. I have my microphone. I went to Wayland's yesterday on a social visit, and I got my microphone here, and my microphone is perched on a trash basket. So we're hanging on here. We're hanging on, but that's a microcosm of our lives sometimes, isn't it? I hope this sound is okay. I hope it's more acceptable than it has been. And again, thank you for writing me. And thank you for your contributions toward this work. I can't do what I do without it. I'm going to Canton, Ohio. My son is graduating from college this weekend, so I'm going up to Ohio, and I will be making some shows for you from my sister's house in Canton. So those of you who have written, I am once again behind on my mail. I always feel terrible if I have not responded to someone, whether you've written with a question or just as a friend, as an encourager to me, or you've written with a contribution for the work. And if I didn't hear from somebody, I'd be ticked. So if you're upset at me, I can't blame you. And believe me, it bothers me every single day that I'm not up to date on my mail. That's why I'll go back months just to make sure I didn't miss anything. So if you wrote me, I guarantee you I read it, and I love it, and I can't live without it, and I will respond. It might be a while from now. I don't know. Oh, the book Eve Raised is typeset. I have typeset that book. It is now in the hands of reviewers. I'm going to have two paperbacks coming out at once, Eve Raised and Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. These books come out as a pair. And that book's halfway typeset now. So I'm working on that on the side. So thank you for your tremendous amount of patience. Nothing happens fast, but it does happen. Loyal subscriber, loyal listener sent me a link to an article that is really fascinating on human free will. Listen to this. The name of the article it's one of these awkward titles, very wordy. Free will could be an illusion, scientists suggest, after study shows choice may just be the brain tricking itself. This is from the independent.co.uk. So this is out of the United Kingdom. Listen to the subtitle of this unwieldy title. It is, research adds to evidence suggesting even our most seemingly ironclad beliefs about our own agency and conscious experience could be dead wrong. This is so good because people think, I've said this many years and here's evidence, people think they're free. People think they have free wills. They don't feel like God is causing them to do what they do. But these people could be and are dead wrong because God purposely, I'm going to read this article, you're going to see what I mean, makes the brain trick itself into thinking that you have free will in order to go smack up against the scriptural declaration that you don't have free will. So then you have the, quote, choice, the relative choice. Do I trust my feelings or do I trust God? And God purposely makes your feelings, even feelings that are physiologically motivated or driven, and he puts these feelings smack up against scriptural revelation, and these two oppose one another. And don't you think God does this on purpose? It's early morning, which is why I'm kind of whispering. See, I have to get this show done today because I have to get ready to travel, and I have to, you know, work on the newsletter for Sunday so that you have something in your inbox. So that's why I'm whispering. I had to do this before the laundry room became available. Remember, this is my room up until around 8 a.m., then it becomes the laundry room, and everybody comes in here. Everybody comes in here and does their laundry. So God takes these so-called instincts that we have. I just feel that I'm free. And now we find out that the brain actually contributes to it. So it's not only psychological, it's physiological. And then he smacks this up against the reality, an alternate reality. Which are you going to believe, your feelings or God's word? And it's so fun to ignore your feelings and believe God's word. Listen to this. This is by Andrew Griffin at The Independent. Free will might be an illusion, really, created by our brains. Scientists might have proved. They might have proved this. Humans are convinced that they make conscious choices as they live their lives. What, am I sound okay? Okay. Humans are convinced that they make conscious choices as they live their lives. And of course, you know my belief and yours, that they do make conscious choices, but people are under the illusion that these conscious choices are occurring independent of any influences whatsoever, any outside influences. That's the definition of free will. A will that is free is by definition not subject, by definition free of outside influence. A will that is free is not influenced by God. It's not influenced by Satan. It's not influenced by anything. The idea was tested out by tricking subjects into believing that they had made a choice before the consequences of that choice could actually be seen. Going to explain that to you. Hang in there. In the test, people were made to believe that they had taken a decision using free will, even though that was impossible. So they set up this test where a free will choice was impossible. But the subjects believed it had been a free will choice because the brain tricked them. The brain tricked them into thinking that they were not influenced. The idea that human beings trick themselves into believing in free will was laid out in a paper by psychologists Dan Wagner and Thalia Wheatley nearly 20 years ago. They proposed that the feeling of wanting to do something was real, but there may be no connection between the feeling and actually doing it. I'm going to give you this test here, show you what kind of test they conducted on these subjects to prove to the subjects that you really didn't choose that of your own volition. The new study builds on that work and says that the brain rewrites history. This is so true. The brain rewrites history when it makes its choices, changing our memories so that we believe we wanted to do something before it happened. We believe that that's what we really wanted, even though at the time we were influenced to do it. But we convinced ourselves that we weren't influenced, we wanted to do it. It reminds me of my cats. I had some crazy cats. Well, that's an redundancy. When I was living on the farm back in Ohio, somebody's in the kitchen. I'm going to do it anyway. These cats would follow us everywhere. And like if we went to sit on a chair, the cats would come sit on the chair. If we went to walk towards the woods, the cats walked towards the woods. And we always used to make voices for the cats. Okay. I made voices for the cats. And the cats would always say, we were going to come out here anyway. The cats didn't want to think that they just followed us around. Well, we were going to come. We were already thinking about coming out to the woods. It just so happened that you came out to the woods at the same time. In other words, no, kitty, no. No. You came out to the woods because we drew you out there. And then now you're out there and you're trying to trick us into thinking that I thought of that all by myself. No, you didn't. You were influenced, but your brain was tricking you into thinking that you had the idea before you saw us walking towards the woods, right? You had no intention of going to the woods, but humans and cats apparently are so proud and they're so needful. Some emotional hole being filled by thinking that we are doing things and cats are doing things out of their own genius, out of their own desire to act. Let me look at my time here. Let me toggle over here. Okay, we're doing well. In one of the studies undertaken by Adam Baer and Paul Bloom of Princeton University, the test subjects were shown 5 white circles on a computer monitor. They were told to choose one of the circles before one of them lit up red. So you see, they had these white circles, 5 of them. Is that how many we have here? It's important. Yes. And the operators would light one up red, but they were told to try to guess which one the operator was going to light up red. The participants were then asked to describe whether they'd picked the correct circle, another one, or if they hadn't had time to actually pick one. Statistically, people should have picked the right circle about one out of every five times. I mean, there's only five circles, but they reported getting it right much more than 20% of the time, going over 30% if the circle turned red very quickly. The scientists suggest that the findings show that the test subjects' minds were swapping around, this is the key, swapping around the order of events so that it appeared that they had chosen the right circle before it had been flashed red, even if they actually had not had time to do so because they were starting to fire these circles off quickly. And the subject says, oh, I picked that one. And they were convinced, the subjects were, that they had picked it before the operator had lit it. But they hadn't. They picked it after the operator had lit it. But the mind, the brain, rewrote the history of that for some reason. They said, yeah, I picked that right circle. I picked it before you lit it. And they went back and showed them the videotape and said, no, you picked it. It's like a nanosecond after we lit it, and your mind only convinced you, tricked you, that you had done it. Because it probably is physiological, but I think a lot of it is psychological because of this need for control or power. The idea of free will may have arisen because it is a useful thing to have. Let me check my time, because wait till you hear the end of this article. All right. The idea of free will, and it is an idea, it's not a fact, as you know, may have arisen because it is a useful thing to have, giving people a feeling of control over their lives. This is from this scientific article in The Independent. And allowing for people to be punished for wrongdoing. When I saw that, that's a quote. It's this whole blame thing. Well, you are allowed, we can punish you because you made a decision of your own free volition, because we can't punish you if you have no free will. Of course, we know in Romans 9, God says he can very well judge people who don't have a free will, because he judges people for their good, and nobody has a free will. So the only way God can judge people who have free wills is just to go ahead and judge them, because nobody's will is not free. God is operating all things. And, of course, the judgment of God is always salutary, beneficial. But that same feeling can go awry, the scientists wrote in the Scientific American magazine. It may be important for people to feel they're in control of their lives, for instance, but distortions in that same process might make people feel that they have control over external processes like the weather. As soon as they start thinking that they chose that circle before it was lit, or as soon as the cat thinks that I came out to the woods because I just felt like it, it's nothing to do with the fact that you walked out here, next thing you know, the cat's gonna think it's controlling the weather. Rain. Unbelievable. So you can become very stupid. A free will starts the ball rolling for an incredible level of stupidity. So at least most of us still have the common sense that we can't control the weather. But people think they control actually bigger things than the weather, like the events that shape their lives. The scientists cautioned that the illusion of choice might only apply to choices that are made quickly and without too much thought. Well, we know it's everything, but it might also be pervasive and ubiquitous, governing all aspects of our behavior. It might be. It might be, Mr. Griffin. No, it is. Pervasive and ubiquitous, governing all aspects of our behavior, from our most minute to our most important decisions. Somebody's making a smoothie. I recognize the sound of the blender. I hope they give me some. I want some. Last paragraph. What? Whatever the case may be, they write, our studies add to a growing body of work, suggesting that even our most seemingly ironclad beliefs about our own agency and conscious experience can be dead wrong. This article came to you, published in the journal Psychological Science as reported in The Independent. Even our most seemingly mental-based, soulish-based beliefs about our own agency and conscious experience can be dead wrong. The only anchor and lighthouse and sure thing that we have concerning our relationship to God and what drives our wills is the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Let God be true, though every man a liar.